Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to another edition of More Than a White Man's Game on the House of L Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Maddie Lee, and our fantastic producer is Lawrence Holmes. As you all know very well by now, if it wasn't extremely obvious by the name of this podcast, we don't just stick to sports here. And so I did want to address the fact that this has been a really tragic week, especially for the friends and families of Dante Wright and Adam Toledo, and their deaths and the release of body cam footage from when a police officer shot 13-year-old Adam Toledo that was released this weekend has understandably really shaken communities, both here in Chicago and in Minnesota, and really the country as a whole. And it just so happens that in the baseball world at the same time, you know, at the end of last week, we were celebrating Jackie Robinson Day. And there were some positive things to come out of that. You know, the Players Alliance, which has done some awesome things in the past year since it was founded. Their last update said that over 250 players had donated their game day salaries, which is a lot of money, and they're going to be able to do some really impactful stuff with all of those donations. So I thought before really kicking off today's episode, I wanted to read something that Jason Hayward said. We did a pregame press conference with him on, I guess, Jackie Robinson weekend, so to speak. And he was asked about some of the recent tragedies and kind of in the context of last summer and the protests then, and whether that was really an inflection point, because we kept talking, especially in baseball, about inflection points and the fight against police brutality and racial justice. And I'll read part of his quote here. He said, quote, "When we started the Players Alliance in 2020, when you saw a lot of people bringing more awareness, bringing more unity on those topics, everyone in our culture, being African American, knew that that wasn't the end. We knew that there would be more bodies. We knew that there would be more casualties, more heartache. It was just the beginning. So we weren't planning on seeing it stop right then. I think what we were planning on was continuing to build, continuing to be positive, continuing to bring awareness, and continuing to fight the fight." He said that a lot better than I ever could have. So with that, let's shift gears a little bit. We're doing something different this week. For me, and I think for a lot of people, my love of baseball started with Little League and playing Little League, and then, you know, my fandom really grew from there, and obviously my career, and I played softball through college, Division III, and baseball's really become a huge part of my life, obviously. But even for people whose careers aren't tied to baseball, I think a lot of that spark comes early on when, you know, you're 7 years old and just throwing the ball around and playing catch with your parents and meeting new friends on the diamond. So I thought it would be fun to bring in some of my Little League buddies and just let you listeners be a fly on the wall for a Little League reunion. So we start out just catching up, so you really get to be a fly on the wall for that, and I'm hoping that it'll be a nice dose of nostalgia for a lot of you and hopefully bring back some similar memories. And then partway through, we shift to some bigger topics like baseball's diversity issues from the youth levels on up. I will say it's also kind of like a time capsule of this era that we're living in currently. We have all of the video chat issues that like every video call with a group of friends together has. We run out of time in our first Zoom session and get cut off and have to start again. We, at some point, an echo pops up out of nowhere, and so we have to all start muting ourselves and all of that, the whole gambit. You understand. I'm sure you've all been there. And additionally, because I want this to truly be a fly-on-the-wall experience, we just jump right in. So before we get to all of that, I'm going to do introductions and give you guys a little context of some of the things that we talk about, because we just bring up names that we all know that you aren't necessarily going to be familiar with. So joining me are four of my friends who I played Little League with: Cora McManus, Cole Story, Reed Furubayashi, and Adrian Brandon. And we all grew up in Seattle. We played for, our team name was the Hurricanes, in Rainier District Little League. And, you know, now that we're all grown up, we're scattered across the country in kind of all different fields. In terms of things you need to know before we launch in, we mentioned at the beginning that Cora's at the station. She's a firefighter, so that's what all those references are. We talk about my dad and his hitting gadgets. He was our like part-time fill-in hitting coach, right? Highland is one of the dads, and he took stats for us. And honestly, like the most in-depth stats you will ever see for Little League, he was fantastic. Dave, we mentioned, was our head coach. And at one point we mentioned that Nick kept asking to be taken out. He was honestly probably one of our best, if not our best pitcher, and one of our really good friends. I've known him since we were really little. We went to elementary school all the way up together. He's also Dave's son. So need that context for some of these stories. And then at one point, Cole mentioned that Marcus was in the dugout helping out with our rally chants and stuff. Marcus is Cole's little brother. Oh, and a couple minutes in, Reed changes his background to, you guys remember those picture day photos that every team did where everyone came in their full uniform and none of the pictures were good? He changes his background to my team photo day photo with me just cheese in. So you will hear our reactions to that. I think that's all you need to know. I'll also give you a warning now. I'm going to let Lawrence decide what all we're going to be bleeping out, if anything. But forewarning, if you're listening around kids, we're a little free with our language. So just keep that in mind. All right. Here it is. Jumping in, fly on the wall on our Little League reunion. Hey, all right. We've got everybody. Thanks so much for doing this, you guys.
No doubt.
How are all of you? Cora's in the station.
Hey.
Looking super legit.
I'm trying to figure out Zoom here. All right, there we go. Now I can see everybody.
Aw. Yeah, I've been chilling. New York is finally turning into spring, which is super popping. Allergies are turning up a little bit. So, you know, trying to lay low, but things are looking good. I'm trying to get outside more and more.
Right. Outside, hopefully on patios and everything are opening up again so that we don't have to just be cooped up for the foreseeable future.
Cool. You still in North Dakota?
Yeah, I'm here in North Dakota right now, but back in Seattle on Saturday. But yeah, just grinding through law school right now. Got 4 weeks left, I think, until finals. So almost finish line is this.
Cole, you're going to be in Seattle for finals, or are you going to be there?
Yeah, I need some study space. So they have the libraries open for us. So yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all virtual?
Yeah, classes have been virtual all year. My favorite.
Love it. You in Seattle? Have that right?
No, I am. Well, I was, but I'm in Hawaii right now.
Oh, that doesn't sound awful.
Yeah, so I'm outside a lot. Sorry, guys. I've been here for like 5 months now, and I'll probably be here for the next year, I think. So,
what are you doing out there?
I mean, my dad's from here, so my grandma's here, my aunts, uncles are here, like a lot more family is here actually from the Furubayashi side than anywhere else. So that's, yeah.
So just
grandma's 95. She's right. Still kicking.
Going strong.
Yeah.
She's going real strong. So it's been good.
How's work, Cora? Thanks for coming in.
I didn't want you guys to reschedule because I feel like next day the same shit could happen. But no, it's good. No complaints.
Are you in the station right now, Cora?
I'm in the station.
Dang.
But yeah, so if I run out or you hear a loud noise, I'll be back. I don't know. Hopefully I'll try to mute it so it doesn't jack up your audio. I don't know.
You know that you're out there saving lives.
Whatever, Cora. Yeah, fine. That's a fine excuse.
Oh, there's a fire in the city. I can't go.
Hurricane reunion. Come on, Cora.
I know.
Yeah, there are fires every day. This is only.
Yes. I'm like, Caesar, can you wait? Can you wait? Thank you.
Oh, man.
Oh, are all your families good? It's been so long since I've seen you guys. It's so nice to see your faces.
I know. I was trying to think of the last time we all were in the same spot, and I couldn't, which is a trip.
It was probably Cora's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
So, low key. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
That's right.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I still have that picture.
That picture. So
you say what?
I love that picture.
the hurricane picture?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes on that picture, because those dresses were great, except where there was one clasp holding them together at the back, and in the middle of that picture, mine snapped. So in my face, that's what's happening. The back of my dress has just broken completely open.
Yeah.
Did not hear that story.
Oh, but I mean, that's a good segue to, I do want to, there are a couple topics I want to hit with you guys besides just random catching up. But I mean, I was trying to think of, if I think back to our hurricane days, like what are the memories that stick?
Yes, Reed.
I'm so glad I didn't make this video.
Sorry, yo. I had to. I just had to. Like, it was the only thing that came up when I searched Little League hurricanes in Google. Like,
this came up.
That, so, had to do it to him.
Yo, okay.
Oh my gosh. So,
because this is a podcast and people can't see this, we got Mads holding a bat, just with one hand, acting hella cool, looking at the camera, being like, I know I'm the shit.
I think I peaked right there. Right there.
I am so sorry. You were asking, you're just about to launch into like a real question.
That was so good.
We're all here now. We're all here.
Sure, I've got braces in there too. Like, oh, I'm styling. I understand why I legitimately had a guy on another team during Little League ask me, so are you a boy or a girl? Like, not trying to be rude, like legitimately wondering. Oh gosh. Well, so what are your guys' memories from Little League while I try to recover from this?
Ooh, I remember, Maddie, I think this was when, it might have been your dad, or maybe it was Jay, or I don't know who it was, but those elastic.
Oh yeah, like, definitely.
Balls that we would use to warm up our arms that were against the chain link fences, and we would be out there acting like it really made a difference. So hard trying to warm up our arms. I remember that for whatever reason, like very, very clearly.
Awesome. Yeah. Like 10-year-olds taking this very seriously.
Yes.
And those green hoses that were like tied together and we were like supposed to be like bats and threw them on the fences or something.
Yeah, the hammer hose or something.
The hammer hose.
See, you can make equipment out of anything.
There were the, I can't remember if this was Little League or afterward, because he kept doing it. Shout out to my dad, who was very inventive with coming up with equipment. So I can't remember if this was Little League or afterwards and for select softball, but he got everyone to make these things, which were basically like water jugs on each end and then essentially a stick, and you have to like roll up the water jugs were like attached to a string and you roll it up, and it was for wrist strength. Nope, that might have been select softball. It was that was fun.
That's like a forearm workout.
Yeah, it worked,
right?
You know, of course, like 13-year-old me was like mortified that all my teammates were going through all this with my dad, but honestly, good job, Jeff. My forearms were great for years.
Yo, whatever all our parents were doing, they were doing it right. Our team, we killed it just over the years. But like, yeah, we were like warming up like pros. We had Highland taking stats like we were.
Like it was his job.
Yo, I never saw those stats. I'm not gonna lie, I never saw those.
Yeah, I don't know what he did with them, but it made me feel hella good being like, oh, yep. I just got to walk. I just see him do a little notch on the paper. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's a good point. I always saw him taking them, but I don't know if I ever saw the final product.
He told me, okay, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but he told me, I think it was the year that I won most improved or something like that. And like, obviously well known for not being able to run very fast. So I like hit it out into the outfield.
What?
Yeah, you know. Whole story's not
whatever, but hold on though. He told me that I had the highest slugging percentage on the team. Ooh. And it was, I don't know what it, like 1 or 1,000 or whatever. And I was like, I don't know what that means as a 10-year-old, but yeah, that was the one stat he ever told me.
I mean, if Hyland said it, it's different.
True.
Well, you fooled everyone, I gotta say.
Like, everybody thought I was fast because I was, like, small, and I don't know, I was kind of pudgy, so I don't know.
They always put you at leadoff, but we knew the truth.
We knew the leadoff for sure.
Oh. Yeah. No, I have some, I feel like I have so many different memories, but some good, some bad. One that is definitely bad is, you know, we just like would always move around positions and like everyone was like kind of a pitcher. And I feel like I was kind of a pitcher until one game where I literally hit four people in one inning. I was beaming them. I hit one kid in the back. I hit one kid in the head, a kid in the elbow, and I don't remember the other one. But I in one inning, I hit four different people.
Dude, I remember that.
Yo.
I actually remember that, too.
I was like, Dave, get me the hell off this mound.
Because you're like such a like a kind soul. And so you were like putting some kids in pain.
Dude, I was like crying. I was like, this is the worst experience of my life. I was such a softy. I was feeling bad for hurting all these random kids. And I was just like, this is just clearly not my game. I don't know how after two people I hit, he kept me in to hit two more. Like, he was a great coach, but he was on one on that.
Well, I explicitly, I don't remember you hitting four people, but I do explicitly remember several times when Nick would ask specifically to be taken out of the game.
Oh, my God.
Like, nope. Oh, he wouldn't ask. No, he wouldn't ask.
Dave just wanted to ride with his pitchers. He wanted to show them that, that he had faith in them.
Yeah, way too much faith.
What I remember the most about you pitching, Adrian, is you had a, I think I was catching for you. And this was pre 2020 wokeness, of course. But you have a skull cap on because you got a fro. You got your hat on. And this effing ref, horrible, is like, take that off. It's not professional or some BS like that. So you take it off. So you got a fro. Now you can't fucking wear your hat. So I'm like.
I'm looking like Ice Cube out there. But like, bouncing off my head.
Yeah. And I will say, like, yeah, Dave wrote for his pitchers, but Nick should have been subbed like 10 times. I'll say right here live, Nick should have been subbed like 10 times. He would throw his glove, stomp around, yell at him back. I'm like, if I did that, what? tell his dad he's stupid. So we could pretend he was riding, but Nick should have been subbed.
Although in Nick's defense, I probably did some of the same shit, but like to my dad on the side, like as my dad's trying to give me hitting advice.
All the shit would go down at Maya's restaurants. That's where I would be with my parents after the game.
RIP to Maya's.
And for real, what is that now? Is it a pho restaurant?
I feel like
it was a pho.
Yeah.
All
right. That sounds
good. That's decent. Best spot in the world.
No, we had
some. I also remember Eric Pape very specifically. Shout out to Eric Pape.
Yo, where is he at?
Terrified of Eric Pape and Nick Manu. Terrified.
Nick Manu, I saw for the.
They had bullets.
He's like. He had legitimate breaking pitches at age 10. Like, I don't understand how that happened.
I remember that. That's when I was like, maybe baseball is not for me. Once they started throwing curveballs and, like, advancing from fastballs and changeups, I was like, okay, this is, like, getting out of hand. I'm going to stick to basketball.
I also love how no one could really throw a changeup. Really, what everyone did is they just kind of slowed their arm.
You taught me how to
really throw a changeup.
You taught me how to throw a changeup, Reed.
Oh no!
Yeah, but I didn't know how to throw a changeup.
You taught me how to throw the circle change. Maybe you were just bullshitting. I guess.
I'm sorry. I was lying. I'll say it.
Damn, cool. Now we know why you didn't end up a big league pitcher because you were taking pitching advice from the wrong guy.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I think I knew how to throw it, but I didn't. I think I just slowed my arm.
Well, and none of us were throwing hard enough for the grip to make any difference. Except
that was it. Yeah.
But other than that.
Oh,
man. Most of my memories are like off the field. Like some of my strongest memories are like playing basketball at Adrian's house. Mm. Like when we were at like we're having our little get together with the whole team and all of us instead are playing horse / bump.
Right.
Those bump games got intense.
Yo, it broke so many windows.
And then the parents would be at their hands the next day, hungover from drinking hella margaritas.
They would be hungover at the game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, that shit was wild. I remember just watching people react every time Cora stepped up to play, and I was just like, you can't go far back.
Like, yes.
There's not even a fence on those fields, but you are not going to go back and do this. You would hit it to those stadium lights. Remember the stadium lights at the corner? The one near the Ezels now? You would hit it deep to that one field we never played at. I was like, you just can't do nothing about it.
And there were definitely triples that should have been home runs because you just decided, this is far enough.
Oh, absolutely. I was not fast. I was like, I'm here for strength. And I'm going to hit y'all in and chill on third. And Dave would be like, go. I'm like, no, I'm not going. You want me to steal? Absolutely not.
Do you remember the signs?
The indicator.
Yes, the indicator.
Hat tip.
The belt was bunt.
Well, this was very obvious.
Right, hit away.
Here it goes, hit away.
I'm going to show y'all, like, steal? I knew the signs, but it didn't matter what sign Dave gave me. I was swinging. I was swinging and not stealing. Go, bunt. Oh, okay.
I'm going to triple.
Every time.
Well, you've been, like, 5 inches of all of us, so.
Oh. First lead off. That was a lot of fun.
What did you say? Sorry.
We're like, I can't remember what league it was, but we could start like leading off.
Oh, I was gone by
majors.
They told me that they convinced me to go over to softball because I think majors we were still not leading off, and I actually went. It was when you guys switched to Pony League. And I went to a game, and legitimately on my ride home, speaking of talking back to parents, I like cried and I was like, "Dad, this is your fault. I should have never." Because at the time, like switching from baseball to softball is not an easy transition. I was popping everything up in softball, and I was like, "I should have never left. This is the worst. I hate softball. Why did you make me do this?" So that's how I remember it, that we did not lead off in majors. And then I convinced Cora to play softball, and she was like, no, this is terrible.
Yeah, nah. I think I tried like half a season. That's the only sport I've ever quit. Usually I'll like see it through the season. Nope, that was the one. It was, absolutely not. Couldn't do it. But you stuck with the dumbass. I think too, when I think about Little League too, like, yes, it's the playing, but it's low-key all the like fire ass cheers though. I remember thinking as a little kid, like it'd be like, Reed's gonna get a hit, or like Reed all, and I thought it was fucking hilarious because Reed's name was Reed and you get to read about it. I don't know. I would be cracking up inside, but I always thought it was mad funny. Or yeah, all the haggling. Yeah, that was good. That was real good.
We had Mark come in as like a rally monkey.
That's right.
I remember that. Oh, one of the rally hats. Yeah, we would do that all the time. Rally, yeah.
We took those so seriously.
So we're like, two outs.
You didn't have your rally hat on. The hell out the dugout.
Rally hats. Did you guys catch this?
instead of doing them inside out, now they just push them in and put them upside down or something like that. And it pissed me off. Like, no, you don't even understand. That doesn't work. We know what works.
Got to see the sweat stains on the end of hand.
I found one of my old hats. Those things are the sweat stains are atrocious. Like, how?
That thing ain't getting a woman.
Nasty.
Oh.
Our uniforms were funny, too. They were the exact same uniform, just a different color every year. But didn't the whole league have the same uniforms, right? It was like everyone had that. It was really just the color, right?
Yeah.
We're in the sponsor.
And I remember the moms got really mad that we ended up with gray. They were, at least my mom was going, she was like, this is the worst color. How did we end up with gray? Like, the maroon was so much better.
Maroon was fire.
Maroon was fire.
We're undefeated in maroon.
Yeah.
That last year.
It's weird. Like, I remember the games really well. And for some reason, not because they're not important and not because I didn't love them, but I kind of forget our practices. Like, I forget, like, how they went.
I legit can't picture your practice. You're right.
I can't either. It's really odd. But we did have them, right? We had to have them.
We had to have. I remember one home run derby.
We did home run derby?
Just
That was as a league, right?
Oh, I don't know. I know we did one just as oh, this is a fun practice.
Damn. I must have not done very good. I definitely don't remember that. Probably blocked that out.
Do you remember practice? Does anyone remember practices?
I only remember doing grounders and you're in
grounders.
The infield and you just throw it to someone at first and that was it. That's all I remember. I don't remember hitting. I don't remember anything else.
I remember we had that one fake play where if there was a runner on first and they were trying to steal, we'd have the catcher throw it to the shortstop who was coming in, and then they would just – no, it was runner on first and third, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then catcher would throw it to the shortstop while the third baseman – or while the runner on third was trying to, steal home too, and then they would, gun it back to the catcher. That was
did
fun.
We ever pull that off in a game?
I also – yeah, we actually did pull that off a couple times.
I think we did.
Woo, hell yeah.
People really fell for that. Cora, I also remember you when you were playing. You were, the only catcher that could throw it without having to, fully stand up.
That's right.
You would just catch it and throw it to second.
Oh. I'll be real, though. We have a softball tournament every year for the department, and I was playing catcher. I tried to squat down like that, y'all. I ain't got it no more.
No more.
No. Give me that stool.
I need like three knee savers now.
The knee savers. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I do remember the knee savers.
Oh, shit.
Adrian, you broke your thumb playing catcher, right?
Yeah, I messed it up pretty bad. I don't know what the diagnosis was, but yeah. I think I sprained my thumb, I think, because someone slid into it, and I was like, all right. I'm not a contact sport kind of dude. I'm gonna chill with this. I'm good. I'm gonna break my knees all play just to get my thumb broke. This is not the move. Get me back at third base. Which y'all gave me shit for because y'all said nobody hits the third base. And I'm just putting it on record. They put me at third because I had a good arm and I could get it to first.
I actually legitimately remember your arm.
Thank you. Reed, you hear this?
I hear it. I was a hater. I remember you had the windup, the pitcher windup.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
Reframe for a second.
We're about third base, Reed. We don't need to go to my pitching.
Oh, my bad.
Or whatever the hell that was.
We all had the same windup too. It was one of two. You either did the weird swing with your arms back or you went over your head. There was nothing else.
Wait, Jeremy had a fire sidearm before any of us could throw a ball.
Jeremy did his own.
Yeah, in between when he was playing with dirt.
Yeah.
Levitating balls in our team pictures. Do you guys remember?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yo, he was on one. Remember how we took grounders? He would refuse to get in front of it. He'd be like, nope, I'm going to go on the side all day, every day. And he was clean with it. But I was like, no one else can get away with that. He would always take it to the side. I was like, Jeremy, you really test my nerves right now.
He was playing checkers. We're all playing checkers.
No, really, I think Jeremy graduated college when we were all in like sixth grade. So he's doing all right.
Yo, I forgot about that.
Oh, that's so true. Do y'all remember that one championship? Do you remember, was it Brandon? I don't think he got a hit the entire season. And then we were down, I don't know, I think we were down like two. And there was two outs, and he came up to the plate, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is not looking good. And he got his first hit of the season. It was a walk-off single.
I absolutely remember that.
It was a chopper. Brandon Wells, he had a chopper down the line, and it was like bouncing hella hard. I was like, oh, he getting that. Right. That was so live. That was an epic way to end the season.
I really remember that. Oh my God, Cole. I never would have.
It's all coming back.
That was dope. I think we had Marcus in the dugout for that one, for the rally monkey.
I still picture him. What, 6 years old or what, however old he was at that point?
This dude's like 6'1".
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember all of our umpires, or I remember a lot of our umpires, actually.
Really?
Who's?
Yeah. Wilson's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
For a lot of them, I remember.
Man.
I think.
Oh, yeah. So, because I'm cheap, I just got the...
Remember the old, like, white dude?
That sounds like probably all of them.
Yeah, I know. But low-key, honestly, like, I hated all of the umps because I would be catching, and then they'd like trying to, like, frame these pictures for y'all to be like, ball. I'm like, what the fuck are you looking at, bro? That's right. So, I hated all of them. And not to mention, like, nah, we was not on good terms, me and the umps. Nah.
Okay, so apparently we've already burned through a half an hour, according to Zoom. So in the last 10 minutes, because I have not upgraded this, we want to hit on some larger MLB issues. And I figure my panel of former Little League players is absolutely the best people to ask about this. So Ken Griffey Jr., I should also mention Seattle Little League. Ken Griffey Jr. has this new job as helping out the commissioner. Big thing is reaching out to the youth. Can you think of anybody better for that job?
He was like everyone's favorite player growing up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's awesome. Is he like helping out with the? I think it was called the RBI program.
He just in general is a senior advisor to the commissioner and is, I'm assuming, touching all things.
Yeah, that's dope.
No, I think that's a perfect pick, honestly. Phenomenal player, phenomenal person. No drama, really. Like, when you think about his career, no scandals, nothing like that.
Yeah.
See, I don't know him personally, but...
But you had his
seems like a
balls growing
up. Oh, you know what I did. You know what I did. So, seems like a stand-up dude, so not surprising.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom, noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I mean, I remember wearing like, we would, my neighborhood, just in my, like on my block, we'd always play Boulevard baseball. And I took it so seriously because it was an opportunity for me to get dressed up, which I've always loved to do. And so I would get fitted every time in my Ken Griffey jersey and rock a backwards hat and like put on what I wish were real earrings, but it'd be like these magnetic ones. I probably got like a bar mitzvah or something. And like, I just remember just wanting, he just looked so cool. And the fact, his swing, everything about him, number 24, that was my birthday. Like, I was just like in love with everything about him, with the chain, all that. So seeing him continue to do work for the community and to get people engaged in baseball is really cool. Cause there's so many people to look up to him, obviously in Seattle, but also so much, you know, all around the league and the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? That like, baseball isn't as cool as it once was. Like, it's kind of lost its standing in the country. And obviously, you know, there are other leagues that have done a better job at marketing themselves and getting kids really excited and involved. But baseball's kind of being left behind in that aspect.
Yeah. Also, like, the only baseball player that had a shoe that, like, stuck. You know, like the
King, the Griffies,
the Delphi shoes. Mm-hmm. So,
that's right.
Yeah, he's for the culture.
Yeah.
Corey disappeared for a second. I was like, oh,
no. I know. No, I got a little notification pop up. False alarm. False alarm. Yeah, no, I think too, when I think about like, cause I still love baseball. I still go to Mariners games. Maddie knows, never go to a game, Matt. I'm like, yes, that means I'm going to stay the whole time. We're not going to leave early. It's fantastic. But I think also, it's also the glory of early Mariners. We had a bomb team. Now we didn't go anywhere, but when you think about like Brett Boone, like that whole era, like if A-Rod, are you kidding me? Like, Randy Johnson, are you really kidding me? Like, our team, we had no business being as
friend of that.
Yeah, no, it was good. And, yeah, but I'm happy we still have a team. Don't get me wrong, I don't want them to leave. And but I do feel spoiled with that era of baseball for the Mariners, because now I couldn't tell you.
They've been rebuilding since 2001.
No idea.
Five players?
Right. Hey, we're 500.
Yeah.
We're 500 though. So
okay.
And
like the best we've been.
Come up and be the rookie of the year. I bet.
That's right.
I mean, it's kind of crazy because I do feel like Griffey is like the face of Seattle baseball, like for us. Like, and even it was a while ago, but I don't know if there's anyone. I mean, the only other person I thought of is like Edgar and Ichiro and Ken Griffey. But like Ken Griffey to me is like the face of Seattle baseball. It's like hard for me to imagine it being anyone else. And so it's cool that he's like in a broader role, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other issue that baseball's facing, right? I mean, the number of international players is amazing. But when we're talking about American players, baseball's got serious diversity problems, and it's retaining those kids who, like, you know, we all got excited about baseball and played as young kids, but I'm the only one who played in college. Did you guys, I can't remember when any of you.
We, most of us dropped out right at the seventh, eighth grade cut about. Cole stayed on a year longer, right?
Yeah, I did one extra year, and that was my 1 year playing with, like, without friends, and it was just not the same. And so I did not keep playing in high school, but I wish I did. So
I mean, Like maybe they couldn't have kept all of us anyways, but like, and we have 3 minutes here. We can I can always start a new one and we can pick this conversation up. But I mean, what's the solution there? Do you guys have any thoughts on that or
not big? I mean, honestly,
I call baseball's problems here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I was like fully aware of why I stopped, to be honest. I think it was like Pony just got a little too real for me. And I was like, I don't think I can hang. But also in Little League, it was a really diverse, I mean, fairly diverse group relative to like baseball in general, like the hurricane era and just like all the teams kind of in the south side of Seattle gathering and like playing games and stuff. And then Pony was a really different environment. I remember I remember it almost feeling like a completely, to me at least, like a really different world. And it was kind of, it was like the difficulty level was obviously increased, but I think also with that, it just the composition of the teams was really different in Pony. I remember that than like Little League when we were younger.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I loved baseball growing up, obviously for the sport, it was fun, but just obviously the people, obviously our team had a really great connection. And I feel like with Coach Dave, obviously he brought that energy. He matched it perfectly for where we were at and what we all wanted out of the game, I think. And so I think once we kind of hit eighth grade and we got a new coach and he was super serious and we were like, it was such a contrast to what we were used to our entire lives. And we were like, whoa, this is this is a whole different speed. And it was a really quick transition. So I think a lot of us would have stayed if like, you know, if Dave wanted to continue on and kind of help us transition, but it was such a stark contrast from Dave to the next coach that we were like, I think it kind of shook me up a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to just stay with basketball, have that be my focus, and I'm going to drop baseball kind of thing.
Yeah.
Coaching is so real. That's true.
Yeah.
Remember
we had like
this? And I was like, what? Like, nope.
You said what? Indoor practices?
Yeah. Do you remember
when that happened
in Pony? And I was like, whoa. What is this?
Baseball is an outdoor game. What are we doing in here?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but to kind of don't think about your question, Maddie, as far as like how do you like keep youth involved and keep it interested to overall like increase the diversity of the sport and all that stuff. And it's hard because when we kind of already hit on it, right? It's like that huge gap between Little League and Pony League, whatever that is called. But not only that, it's access to backs. Ball's an expensive sport to get into, the equipment, right? And you want to look cool and have all the cool pants. Expensive. Two, when you think about like what teams are good, they're in rural areas. They have like a baseball facility. They have batting cages. They have backs. They have like a booster club, stuff that isn't always available in Rainier Valley, let alone Rainier Little League. And I'm also recognizing like Rainier Valley, Rainier Little League, City of Seattle budget, how much is going to go towards the baseball budget? I understand that's not always in our forefront. But I think, too, like, let's just give an example, right? Little Brown wants to play baseball, okay? Wants to play baseball, loves the sport. How can we get him involved, right? So we start Rainier Little League. He goes through there, climbs up, rookies, majors, all minors, all the things. And then he makes that Pony League jump. And where's Pony League? It's out in the boonies. So not only do you have to go find a ride to get there, And this is if you love the sport, talking about, because you have to love it at this point if you're going to do all this. So you have to love the sport, find a ride out to who knows where. And then when you get there, you're the only Black person or person of color there, absolutely. And you're in an area, I don't want to assume, but let's just assume I'm in an area that maybe might not be most welcoming to the brown or Black boy from Seattle, right? You are dealing with other stuff as well. So I don't want to say like it's impossible, but there's so many walls that even begin. So I think like, how do you do it? And I'm not going to solve all the issues here, but how do you do it? One, exposure to the sport. Hey, do you want to play baseball? You can do it. Anyone can do it. You're unstoppable. But then two, also making them yes, fall in love with the sport. And then once you have that with that, like you have some with that light in there, I say, oh, I want to do this forever. I want to be the next Griffey. I want to do all that stuff. You got to somehow either link up with those rural department, those rural organizations and say, hey, we have kids interested. How can we do some kind of merch? Like it's going to take working together. Cause I don't think those premier things are going to be in Marina Little League. I mean, there's just not the money or the space or the investment to warrant that. But I do think partnering up with those and say, hey, we noticed that your guys' players are mainly white. Like, do you care to change that? And if they don't, that's a different issue. But if they do, we introduce them, say, hey, well, we have this person here, we want that wants to play this sport, wants to good and is good, or wants to get good. And I think that's kind of the step. But tough sport for minorities though, because until you get to college, damn near, like it is you and the farm boys, at least how it has been like historically. Maybe it'll change. I'm not in baseball. Maybe it's changed now. It could be changed today. I don't know. This is also some of my assumptions, but I just know as a little brown girl that thought about, man, can I play in the MLB one day when I was young? We got the point league and I was like, oh, this sport ain't for me. We're like, I don't see nobody out here that looks like me. I don't see nobody out here. Like, I feel like I'm not supposed to be here. So I think that is a huge wall that we have not yet addressed, but I will try to remain hopeful that one day it can be addressed, and not only just like, oh, well, one day, but like actual, like make like tactical, like steps to actually like implementations to make it work.
That is so real. And the thing that immediately comes to mind is our trips to SQUIM. Do you remember when we were?
Yeah, I was called the N-word for the first time in SQUIM.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't like SQUIM.
No, I fully hear you. I actually really do remember going there, and I loved, like, but our jerseys looked different. Like, our team looked really different. Like, we would got there, and we all carpooled to get there, and, like, it just felt immediately different. And then not only that, but like some of those teams were really good, like really, really good. They have like a lot of access to resources. And I don't know if it's because rural or not rural, I'm not sure. But I remember, like, as we were talking, Cora, I was like immediately thinking about SQUIM. And like all of those things kind of come together in that experience in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's just the first thing that popped in my mind.
And like, just for context, because we have people that don't know about SQUIM and Rainier District Little League, but SQUIM was like basically the district tournament, right, for the Little League World Series. So you go like districts, and then you go state, and then you go regional or something like that. But yeah, I mean, so my brother continued playing baseball, and I think the year after he quit, there was one Rainier District Little League team that basically got further than any Rainier District Little League team had ever gone in that tournament. They won the SQUIM tournament and like were qualifying for regionals, and they ended up losing to, of all teams, they lost to Mercer Island, right? And so they didn't qualify for like the Little League World Series, but they were really, really close. And I think about like what made that team so good. And for like the inner city teams, it takes coaches that are willing to go above and beyond to put their own dollars in to like, you know, show these kids that you deserve to be out here and you're just as good as everybody. And we had coaches like that too, but you know, obviously I don't think we had fun. I don't think we were as necessarily dedicated to trying to make it to the Little League World Series, you know? So yeah, I think absolutely, like Cora is saying, funding for the inner city leagues is like super important. And I think changing the culture, like the culture of even the major leagues, like, I don't know, sometimes you go to games and I mean, it's good. Like you hear country music and stuff, but that's just not, I didn't grow up listening to country music, and it was just something that was totally different for me. But even the players that the MLB chooses to highlight are, you know, generally not like black players, except for Ken Griffey. Like I remember Andrew McCutchen, you know, like very rarely is it a black athlete. or a person of color from the U.S. that's highlighted by the major leagues. And I think, I think it's a fair point that it's possible. Like, I think the major leagues has in large part like quit trying to reach out to the inner city kids because like, or funding inner city programs because they're able to diversify in a different way. They're able to get, like you're saying, Maddie, like international players. And I think, I don't know the numbers, but I think MLB in that regard is probably more diverse than it's ever been ever. It takes a commitment. And they haven't been committed to supporting programs like Rainier District Little League or like the Central District team. I don't know if y'all remember playing against the Central District team, but it takes commitment from the major leagues and like programs that have money to fund everybody.
Yeah. To your point, Cole. Yeah. There has been a increase in international talent, which is great, but there's also been a pretty steep decrease in African-American talent in the big leagues, over the last decade or so.
Yeah. I think also when I think of, especially for like specifically talking about African-American, baseball's history, as far as the Negro League and what they had to fucking go through, I think a lot of people kind of wash their hands and say, you know what? Like, nah, because even if we think about like, yes, you have, of course, Jackie Robinson, but even like Hank Aaron, like Atlanta stays dogging Hank Aaron. He has not gotten it. Someone fact check me, but I swear this guy in the stadium didn't get like no statue or anything. Like he was a big time. Maybe they did now and they rushed in their post 2020. But I swear for the longest time, like you wouldn't hear anything like about a memorial for Hank Aaron, not a statue, like nothing. So I think too, like, let's not act like there hasn't been a crazy history with this sport and what specifically African Americans have had to gone through to even just get the attempt to play. And then we do play and we're good. We got to be good and also get our ass beat in the locker room. So it's just like, I do think like, I like applaud those that have been able to push past that and break barriers in that sport. I'm glad that we still have African American players playing the major leagues, but like that history is less in basketball. It's less in soccer. But my point is like that era makes it tough, I think, to want to just jump in.
Yeah. And as for like a sport that prides itself so much on tradition, I mean, it's like, you know, such an American's pastime. Like, you go to your first baseball game, it's such a family tradition, all that kind of stuff. It's so much embedded in like the history of this country, but only one side of that story, obviously. And obviously I'm no like baseball whiz or nothing like that, but I just remember going to these games and there were moments where like I would feel, you know, like kind of seen or feel like I could see myself on the field. Like when I saw Ken Griffey or Mark McLemore or Mike Cameron.
Ooh, Mike Cameron.
Yeah. Yeah. 44. But yeah, I remember them like stepping up to the plate and hearing like DMX go off. And I was like, oh, this is live for like those 5 seconds. And then they'd cut it, obviously. And then it'd be silent until the next black player comes up and they start playing some other cut. And that's like, you know, it was just, I could see myself getting into it for sure. But then, you know, it's a slow sport, of course. So, you know, throughout the course of 4 hours, you kind of lose yourself sometimes. But I think, yeah, the history element it's interesting to see, and obviously not surprising, but what history they highlight and what history they choose to ignore, because I'm still learning so much about the Negro League and finding, you know, different teams I didn't know about and athletes that I never heard of, and I'm just like, how the hell, I would have loved to hear this as a kid. I would have been so much more into it. I had no idea. So that would be really cool. It's just the educational component of it too, to get people engaged
for sure. And I think I thought I saw an article like a while ago that said that I think the MLB basically like adopted Negro League stats for players that are like in the Hall of Fame or something, like took their stats and also added them into like their major league stats too. And I thought that was like, you know, really interesting. But yeah, just the educational piece, there's so many aspects to like the Negro Leagues and stuff that we just don't know about.
Yeah, there's an interesting debate around that where it's, you know, obviously a long time coming for Major League Baseball to finally recognize the Negro Leagues as quote unquote major league, right? But then you had people on both sides where it was like, oh, thank goodness, finally. But then it was also like, we don't need your recognition. Like, we don't need this.
For sure. That's how I felt when I read the article. I was like, they didn't get the respect when they were, you know, when they were doing it. Why all of a sudden now? But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I was going to say one other thing about just like the game of baseball. I think like baseball is a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun when we played. Mm-hmm. And it's such a team sport, even though like when you're out there to bat, like, you know, it's like you and the pitcher or whatever, but it's like such a team sport and it builds so much camaraderie. And I think there's so much appeal to baseball as a team sport. How it's broadcasted right now, it just doesn't feel like, if I was a little kid right now, you know, I couldn't see myself in the major leagues. And, you know, it's very different than the NBA and the NFL. Like I see people that look like me, like thriving and doing well or whatever. And you just don't see that in baseball. I don't know if it has to do with the rules, but baseball also just like doesn't seem cool anymore, like you said. But yeah, there's a lot of things baseball's got to work on.
Mm. Yeah, I'm kind. The unwritten rules seem to be very slowly getting washed away, but it's such a slow process. Like it was really last year was the first time when I really saw people standing up for bat flips of all things. Like, how have bat flips been unacceptable until really the last couple of years, and still guys are getting pegged for them? Like,
yeah,
wow,
yeah.
It's a very, like, unique culture. Just, like, baseball culture is unlike... I can feel like basketball and football blend together just, like, socially very well. But baseball really kind of stands on its own. To me, it always just has this intensity. And if you think of, like, an intense, like, a stereotypical, like, high, you know, advanced whatever baseball coach, competitive baseball coach, like, that's an intense dude right there, or a woman. That's an intense person. And I just feel like it didn't feel welcoming. And it didn't feel like we had mentioned earlier, that transition was just so, so sharp. And I feel like, you need someone in that space that looks like you that says, yo, don't worry. I've never seen a curveball just like you when I was your age, but let me tell you, it's not as scary as it looks or whatever it is. But there was, you need a little bit of that assistance kind of in that transition period, but we did not have that.
I also remember, I mean, this is peripherally kind of about the sport, but also just like the broadcasting of baseball and like people you see, even just like on major sports networks talking about baseball, commentators, like even all of that is, I mean, I don't remember seeing any people of color or women in those positions at all, actually, growing up. And that's also because that's like the channel through which it's communicated to the public in many ways. And it's odd also to think about that. Like, yeah, I mean, it was all like white men. I can't think of a single, like, an interview after the field or like a broadcaster on ESPN. Like, I don't even remember anything a white man doing that when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, that's a great point. Between broadcast and we haven't even touched on the, you know, managing and front office positions too, where you so rare. I mean, obviously we're taking baby steps now with a hire like Kim Ng for the Marlins, and there are definitely a few broadcasters sprinkled here and there who aren't that white male mold, but it's still definitely slow progress.
I want to go back for a second to my Hank Aaron rant, because I was like, I wonder if they have a statue. Side note, they do. They got unveiled this year, January 23rd, 2021. So I rest my case on this, because this should have been there long before then. But they have one now.
And Atlanta,
Atlanta needs a new team name. Like, you know, there's
yeah. Atlanta, they're problematic as hell. Like, mm. So, yeah, because he passed away this year. They gave him a statue and unveiled it and said, blase, blase, we love Hank Aaron, but didn't mention all the racist shit he had to go to throughout his career while dominating. But sorry, Atlanta Braves, that statue's about 20 years too late for me.
Real.
Yeah.
How dare you make it to Camden and see his own statue?
Yeah, let him smell flowers. It's ridiculous. Fucking Hank Aaron.
Yeah. And the All-Star game was supposed to, well, I guess it still will have dedication elements to him, but they moved that out of it like, because of voting laws.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool to see.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah. I did read somewhere too that Seattle was bringing back their Negro League jerseys, but like even these little like marketing tactics, it's also a slap in the face for me, because I'm just like, you're doing it for profit, you're doing it because like all of a sudden it's like, I don't say popular, but just like it just feels so ungenuine to me. So how do I like get past that, like. One, I'm happy, like, yes, finally they're on sale, but also, like, damn, what took so long?
And where is that money going? Like you said, like I obviously don't know anything about this, but if that's not you, that's in the community, I'd assume it's not, but yeah, it's too little too late.
I don't know if you know this, Maddie, or if you like know stats around this, but I know obviously like representation in the Major League Baseball is gone down a lot, but is that also the same in like all subsequent levels too? Like,
that's really, I've looked into this a little bit. It's hard to find like
yeah,
actual real statistics. I've talked to people in Chicago who say that they've seen promising trends in the level, but I don't know about nationwide, and I haven't seen actual statistics in Chicago either. But just youth overall, like even if we take out demographics, just baseball has had trouble reaching young people in general as well.
Huh? Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it is a sport that is a lot. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking of just like how natural it is for people to get into basketball, because there's basketball who's not really good at basketball, and baseball obviously a little more gear involved, and you need a little more people to play like a real game. But it's a very technical sport too. It's not naturally understand very easily how to make it work.
Okay, wait. I gotta ask the echo going on.
Yeah.
It's been cracking me up on the inside.
I can't tell if it's on what direction it's coming out of. I tried muting myself, but it still is going through.
We can all be muting when we're not talking.
I'm on Zoom every day, and so I see these tech issues all the time, and it just cracks me up every day.
It is so bad when we try to do it for press conferences, because we're all in the same room too. So, and all playing it out loud to record. And so we've got feedback on top of everything, and it's a nightmare. I can't wait to get off of Zoom. No offense to Zoom, just the whole virtual thing.
Yeah, I hear you. Maddie, are you covering like the Cubs or anything, or who, like, what are you, I know you're in Chicago now, but what are you up to? We haven't asked you any questions.
Yeah. Covering Cubs full time now for NBC Sports Chicago, doing this podcast thing on the side, which has been really fun. But yeah, the goal was always to get back to baseball. And so it's been a weird time to do it, but I did it.
That's dope.
I haven't stepped foot in the clubhouse yet, but you know, eventually, once all this passes.
Wow. Damn, that's so dope. Congrats. Obviously, you've been doing this for a while, just staying in the baseball field since day one, but that's dope to see it climb all the way up to the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Filta was one of my favorite players growing up, too, so that's what's up.
And I always felt like, of everybody on the Hurricanes, Maddie, you always loved baseball the most, outside of like Highland, who was keeping stats. Like, you always loved baseball the most. So I love to see, like you said, like, you're back in baseball. I think that's awesome.
Appreciate it. Yeah. No one can beat Highland. Oh my God.
We will never not have this photo. It needs to be on your desk when you're there in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I'm not going to promise that. Cora has been, Cora gave a photo of me and a Ichiro cutout to my boyfriend, who now is holding that hostage. So.
You're welcome.
Let me ask you guys this while we're on the topic of the youths. Are you guys going to teach your kids baseball? Are you going to have them growing up playing catch and all that?
Hell yeah. 100%. Nah. That's, yeah, absolutely. To me, I think it's the best little kid sport.
Yeah, and you can't get away from catch. Just like, you can do that whenever. So, definitely plan on it. That'd be a lot of fun. What about y'all?
I guess it depends if kids are in my future or if my kids show an interest.
That's nice of you. I'm forcing.
Yeah, you're hella nice.
I'm forcing my
kids. I mean, I don't know. I honestly. I mean, the bigger question is the first one for me.
Yeah, I'm definitely a strong yes, but that's to all sports. I mean, I'm just going to get them in everything. I'm like, look, you got to pick one and be good at it because I'm not paying for college. So you need to figure this out. So whether it's baseball, basketball, golf, soccer, tennis, swim, pick something. Like,
is there anything off the table for it? Curling?
Actually, low-key, sorry, Adrian, track and field. I cannot sit at a meet for 6 hours. Dang. I can't do it.
There, so you're going to be fine watching swimming, but track and field, that's out.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not going to come to the meet, but I'll come to the one race. So maybe I'll do the same thing with track. I'll just come to their one race.
Got to time it.
Yeah, and be like, oh, dang, sorry, I missed the rest of your team. But it's not a team. It's not really a team sport, but oh, dang.
And you can only do one event.
Yeah.
Curling and 400. You got
to. Yeah. No, but I'm definitely game for baseball. It's just a good, you will learn a lot of good stuff, good skills from playing any sport for that matter, but baseball as well. Just hanging out on the bench, easy to make friends. But I will say though, like, I feel like I'm definitely down for the catch, but like, I haven't played catch in so long, so I might need to like practice before, because I will be damned to be embarrassed by my kid. It's talking about you can't throw. So I might need to like pick up a ball again real quick and just make sure my shoulder still got it. But, yeah, no, I'm for sure. All sports, but yeah, they can play catch. Until they say, no, thank you. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, catch is something still to this day. I will tell my girlfriend, Talia, I'll be like, you know, we don't even have a mitts or anything. We use just like a little yoga ball kind of thing. And we'll just go to the park and just launch it. Be like a couple, you know, 100 feet away from each other. Just watch it bounce, get to each other and just do ground. We're doing like practice, just fielding grounders with each other and like doing pop flies. And we went hiking the other day and it was snowing and we were doing like amazing diving catches and shit. And I'm just like, I want to be doing that forever. It's the most entertaining thing. I could be anywhere playing catch for hours. 100%.
Yeah, agree. Well, thanks you guys so much for doing this. Unless there's anything else you guys want to add before we wrap up.
Maddie, just thanks for having us on this. And it's been really fun to just like, cause I was listening to when you were on Thunder Buddies, And so it's just been fun to follow you, and I'm super excited for everything you're doing. So thanks for having us. And I'm glad, like, super happy to see everybody here too. It's been a minute. So.
Yeah.
It's so seconding that. Maddie, so good to see you. Thanks for setting this up. And I was also thinking, like, if I have kids, one of the things that I would point to encourage them to play baseball is, like, this kind of moment, or, like, our team, and just, like, that would probably be a big pull. So it's good. It's been years, but this is awesome.
Yeah, we can be the hungover adults at some point.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, please.
I'm not keeping a score though.
Yo, that's Maddie. That's all Maddie. Maddie got stats.
I mean, I'm not gonna say no. The kids will definitely not see my book afterwards. I'm like, yeah, I'll tell everyone, yeah, you're batting 1,000. Good job. All right. Thanks, you guys, so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Maddie. Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Well, that was a blast. I mean, honestly, I don't think I've laughed that much in a long time. Those guys are awesome. So glad that all four of them could take out time from their busy schedule to record this episode. And you know, we got to dig into some pretty serious issues too. I know we were mostly drawing on our own experiences when we were talking about kids getting excited about baseball and how to keep kids of different races and backgrounds involved in the sport. But I really do think that you'll find kids around the country who have run into some, you know, similar experiences that have turned them off to the game, or, you know, in some cases where they've really been pushed out. And I think that's important. I think that's important that we get to hear as many of those stories as possible in order to fix this problem and be able to expose this game that I love, that, you know, all five of us love and have loved since we were young kids, and get as many people at least exposed and get to choose whether or not they want to stick with it, or, you know, I guess even start it. But overall, such a blast reconnecting with those guys. We obviously had such an awesome team growing up, and I feel really lucky that we're still able to have, you know, even if we're not talking every day or every week or, you know, even every year, that we're able to have these moments when we can come back together and it feels like no time has passed. So I hope you guys all, my listeners, enjoyed being a fly on the wall as much as I enjoyed recording this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And this has been another edition of More Than a White Man's Game, a House of L podcast. As always, thank you so much to Lawrence Holmes for this network and your production skills, and I will see you all next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.